sleeping, he would be with his Father. He prayed early in the morning. And I believe that is so important in a believer's life, Darren, not to ignore a precious time with our Father, with Jesus, and with Holy Spirit in our lives.
Well, I think it's interesting in verse 39 of chapter 1, Jesus said, in fact, it said about him, he went about preaching and casting out demons. Mm-hmm. I think that's very interesting. And many times today, we just have the preaching. And I think we don't want to be, and I'm saying generalizing again, let me say it this way. Many pastors don't want to be assumed to be some kind of a nutcase. So they avoid teaching and preaching against demons, and there are demons right in their churches operating without any confrontation from people that are spiritual, mm-hmm. people that are holy. We can't get away with that. I believe God's going to hold us accountable to this. We need to be knowledgeable about what's going on in the spirit world.
Well, can you imagine what an uproar he caused? Going into the synagogues and casting out demons, and the Pharisees were such reserved and pious, educated men, and I'm sure this got under their skin. Well, I call number four miracle when he cast out the demons in the synagogue, what you were talking about just now in Mark 1:39. In Mark 1:40, a leprous man, came to him, and falling on his knees before him, he said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." What did Jesus say? He never said, "I'm not willing. You don't have enough faith." I mean, when this man made enough action here to fall on his knees and beg Jesus, I'm sure Jesus knew he had the faith and he believed that Jesus was the one that could heal him. Jesus said, "I am willing." And that man was immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed.
You know, also I think we need to assume from this that Jesus is also willing today, because when we have his name, we have his authority. And it says in, matter of fact, in John chapter 14, whatever you ask in my name. Well, what's in Jesus' name? That in the power, the authority, and the ability. Those three things are so important. Power, authority, and ability to cast out the demons is there in the name of Jesus. And he used that, though, in this case with the leper, and I think it's very interesting. They didn't talk about healing the leper, talk about cleansing the leper, and then the healing came.
That's right.
The restoration
came. Praise God.
Came.
Well, for miracle number five, we go to Mark 2:3-11. And they had come to Capernaum, and there was a totally paralyzed man, and his friends tried to get him into the house that Jesus was teaching in, but it was so packed, jam-packed, they couldn't even get in the door. So they go up to the roof, and they peel off part of the roof, and the roofs were usually loose enough. Sometimes they had even branches of trees for the roofing or thatch, and they took part of the roof off and lowered the man. The important part here, Darren, is Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw the faith of the friends of this man. Now, he may have been so totally incapacitated, he was weak in his faith, but his friends brought the faith that he needed for this healing.
You know, in this miracle, I think it's interesting that Jesus took on the sin issue. Yeah. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, I see, a lot of times we don't in the modern church want to admit that there's a connection between sickness, disease, disorder with sin. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people have asked me to pray for them. They had some kind of malady or sickness in their body, and the Holy Spirit would stop me and say, "Darren, you can't pray for that. Don't pray for the healing. Pray for the root cause, the problem." And I would have to deal, for example, with unforgiveness. Once they forgave, then the healing was easy. And I think here Jesus was saying that in so many words here. You know, he was saying, "Go and sin no more. You know, your sins are forgiven," in essence. And then the man could be healed.
I wonder if part of the sin issue here, Darren, was that he was in unforgiveness. And I wonder if that brought on this paralysis. Because Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven." And as he was forgiven, I'm sure he forgave, or the bitterness left his heart, or unforgiveness, or whatever
right,
he had
right.
against him.
Well, sometimes I think pride keeps people in this situation where they say, "I'll never forgive." I've heard about and seen people in rest homes that were all gnarled up, you know, their feet and their joints and everything. And they were saying, they thought they were being really smart and denying another person something they ought to give them, and that was forgiveness. And the stories go like this: "I will never forgive." And here they can't even feed themselves. They can't take care of themselves. But they think that they're holding out something, you know, and what they're doing. They're destroying themselves with unforgiveness and bitterness. That's an idol, by the way, in their lives. And you know, we as Christians need to deal with that with our friends, people in our church. Pastors especially need to deal with that. Say, "Listen, you're never going to make progress with God. Because there's a big blockage between you and the heart of God, and that's unforgiveness. And you need to deal with that. We talk a lot about that, but it's so important.
That's right. It really is. Well, in this same chapter, the Pharisees and tax gatherers and Pharisees and the religious leaders, they see Jesus eating with the sinners, and they start complaining. You know, well, he says he is a mighty man of God, and yet he's eating and drinking with the tax gatherers and the sinners. And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And that is so important to know that Jesus here was strong enough to mingle and to associate with the sinners. Now, some people, Darren, I do not believe they're strong enough to go into these places where the sinners congregate, into the taverns, into the bars, into the lounges where the sinners congregate to witness to them. I think there are some people too weak to do that, but Jesus was strong in his faith here.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, if you've been saved out of alcohol or drug addiction or whatever, you ought to stay out of those places where these people still are selling, dealing, enjoying, quote-unquote, their drugs or their alcohol. You ought to stay out of there. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe because you've been saved out of that, you're called into that as a ministry. And we hear that quite frequently. Oh, I was saved out of this. I'm going to go back and witness to them. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Mac, you better give it a lot of years till you get seasoned in Jesus, or you'll be back in there doing all those goofy things you did before God delivered you.
Yes, really. That's so true. And the number six miracle is found in chapter 3. And here we find Jesus in the synagogue again, and these religious leaders are watching him closely to see if he heals on the Sabbath, because they count that as works, and you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, so they're really down on Jesus for healing and doing good on the Sabbath.
So right here, they were saying the law is more important than getting this man healed.
Yes, isn't that
sad? Now, sometimes in our churches today, their traditions are more important than getting the person really taken care of, and I believe God will judge that. I believe he'll come and really say, "What are you doing here? You're trying to keep up with all the traditions of your church, all the things that you think are so important. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. What about the people in the pews that are really hurting, Pastor? Mm-hmm. And do you have the discernment? That's why you need discernment of the Holy Spirit. You ought to be able to sit up there on the platform on Sunday morning and survey your sheep. Mm-hmm. In fact, you ought to be out there circulating with them, getting up close to them, looking in their eyes, listening to their voices, watching how they stand, looking at their carriage. You know how they walk. And you ought to be asking Holy Spirit, here I am. I am supposed to be a shepherd, not a hireling, but a shepherd. And I think we have to do that to some of our good friends too. Sometimes nobody outside of that circle is going to see what's going on. And I think we need to be willing to step up to the plate and say, you know, I sense there's a problem here. And I'm not going to let you off the hook because I love you. But we're going to deal with this. We're going to deal with it from Scripture. And I think that's a loving, giving thing that you can do for a friend.
Praise God.
I feel strongly about that.
Okay, Mark 3:3. Jesus was in the synagogue again, as we said, and he saw a man with a withered hand. Now, Darren, we're born with two hands because we need both hands to work and to do what we need to do in life. Now, what if I had, you know, I'm right-handed. I write with my right hand. So what if my right hand was totally useless?
Became useless.
Well, it would be it would be a handicap for me. I couldn't do what I was called to do or what I desired to do. So here comes a man with a withered hand. He couldn't use it. And Jesus called him forward. I think that's really interesting. Some people say, oh, I can get healed staying at home. You know, I can get healed not coming to a meeting. I can get healed just being out in the nature. Jesus called all these people forth, or either these people came to Jesus that he healed. He didn't heal somebody that was 10 miles away that really didn't care to come see him. And I believe that's important. But here it was a man who came forward, and after looking around at the Pharisees and religious leaders with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And it was totally healed.
It's immediately healed.
Hallelujah.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, you have to have the compassion of Jesus if you're going to try to minister to somebody. And then you have to have the power of Jesus. And I like Ephesians 3:1, and it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." Well, what did Jesus have in him right here so he could heal this man with a withered hand? He had authority, he had power, he had ability, he had compassion. Yeah. And we need to have those same thing working. And by the way, if you're in a church that doesn't really attend to these things, probably